Super job, Hannah. That was a long reading. Go take a break. Go take a nap. You didn't need me. You didn't need me. Lord, now may the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord. You are our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Congregation, please be seated. We hear another parable of Jesus, the great rabbi teacher today. And remember, a parable is a short story in which Jesus makes a point about God, about faith, or about the kingdom of heaven versus the kingdom of this world. And now for the second week in a row, Jesus not only tells the story, but he explains the story. Today's parable is of the wheat and the weeds. And are you pretty clear on the storyline of this? I mean, without going over the whole thing again, we're just going to cut to the chase. The world in which we live contains the good, the bad, and the ugly. Matter of fact, I've revised my sermon title. What the Holy Spirit said to me on Wednesday was different from what the Holy Spirit said to me on Saturday. And so it's not in but not of. Instead, today's title message is the good, the bad, and the ugly. And maybe, just maybe, Clint Eastwood might make a guest appearance. According to this story, both the good plants and the bad plants live in the same field, and that field is planet Earth. Let's just narrow planet Earth down, all right? Let's just call it Fredericksburg, Texas, FBG.com. The wheat and the weeds grow side by side in Gillespie County. Both shop at HEB, both fuel at Strayer's, both go to Hill Country Memorial Hospital, both attend church, and both even possibly are here today. The weeds in this story are a very special kind of weed. It's called a Darnell weed. And in its very early stages of growth, the Darnell weed closely resembles the wheat plant, and whereby even the most expert farmer could not tell the difference between the wheat and the weeds when it's growing up young. Point being this, we only think we can tell who are the good people and who are the bad ones. You know how it rolls. Every day there's a story in the headlines that remind us differently. The man who wears a police uniform on the outside is dealing drugs behind the scenes. Or the one who wears a pastoral robe on Sunday has multiple affairs with women in his church. Or the businesswoman who sings in the choir on Sunday, come Monday, is cheating in her business transactions. Or the trusted bookkeeper is embezzling funds. And vice versa, the story is told. The street person who looks so suspicious, he is the one who shares half of his sandwich with the other street person. Or the woman who never, ever attends church, she's teaching Bible stories to her children at nighttime. Or the 20-year-old who is tattooed from head to toe and has a body piercing on every place on their body, well, is the very first to sign up for the Habitat for Humanity work. We are way too quick to judge, and often not so accurately. How many of us remember Michael? I don't even have to say his last name, do I? We know Michael. You remember Michael? He hung around here for about a year. 6'4", wore a black trench coat, black hat, cowboy hat in worship. How dare he wear a hat in our worship space, right? You know, Michael's moved on now. He moved away about 6 months ago. He actually joined Holy Ghost Lutheran Church. But I remember how I may have judged the book by the cover. Many of us were very wary that he might be a bad seed among us. But you know what? As you got to know him, he knew more about faith and more about Bible than many of us. And when it came to serving events, he was often the first there to do the schlepping. moving the tables and the chairs at the Global Leadership Summit, no one worked harder than Michael at that event. And so many times he was there to do the grunt work. Just because someone doesn't do and think and smell like I do, doesn't make them a weed. Who of us really knows who the good and who the bad are? Matter of fact, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 16, people, that's us, people look on the outside of a person, but God looks upon the heart. Yes, we are side by side in this world, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And it's not easy to actually distinguish pure people of God and those persons who are not of God. And by the time they grow, as those seeds grow up and the farmer can tell the difference between a darnel weed and a wheat plant, by the time they grow up, well, can we? Can we really still tell the difference between the good and the bad? Or what does God want the good and the bad to do and to be? The Bible story says this: the workers came to the master and said, Lord, what do you want us to do? Do you want us to gather up the weeds? But the master said, no, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds and first bind them in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat into my barn. Whoa. Do I hear God correctly here? Is he saying in his word, let the good and the bad grow together? I thought we were supposed to yank out the bad weeds in this world. You know, toss them aside so that the good, the we, might be able to thrive even more. That is true when it comes to our own personal hearts. When there is bad seed, when there is weed within our hearts, God wants that to be taken out of our hearts so that our hearts might be more pure and clean. But when it's talking about people and judging people, well, seems that God is saying don't chop them out. Don't eradicate them. Allow the good and the bad to live side by side until the final judgment. And then God will make those decisions. You see, it seems that in part, what God is saying is that we as believers in Jesus are to live among the weeds, to not be so fast to judge, to not be so quick to pull out the hoe from the shed and get into the garden, or to pull out the Roundup, the herbicide, because you just never know. You just never know what impact that you might have in terms of a positive Christian influence on others. And I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking right now. As I was wrestling with this last week, I was thinking the same thing. A leopard can't change its own spots, can it? No. Once a bad egg, always a bad egg. And I guess that's right. We can't change our own spots. We can't change the spots of others. But God can. We can't turn a man from sexual addictions, but God can. We can't turn a woman from alcohol, but God can. We can't turn anyone from anything, but God can, and he uses us to do it. That's why we're called his disciples, his followers. Do you remember a fella in the Bible whose name was Saul? Saul in the New Testament. You know Saul's past, don't you? He hunted down Christians. He arrested them. He persecuted them. He imprisoned them. He even executed them. He was bad. Remember how bad he was. That would have been an easy, easy call to pluck him off of planet Earth. But no, God changes this bad boy, this bad apple, and he uses him for good. Think about Jesus. Think about Jesus and where he spent so much of his time. Was it in the temple? Was it at church? Was it among the good people all the time? Yes, he spent a good amount of time in the temple, in the synagogue, in the Word of God, with the people of God. But so many of his stories are where? Among the weeds. the cheating tax collectors, the prostitutes and sinners. I think that's an impetus for how God calls us to be with those who are considered the bad ones.
There was a minister who spent every single Monday morning at a local restaurant eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners. Some of them were real rough cusses in the town. Their language was vulgar and crude. Their attitudes were raw and racist. But this pastor was there. He was there so that he might rub off some of his positive Christian influence on the negative. Some of his parishioners really complained about this, hanging out with riffraff. To that, the pastor would say, "That's where we Christians are needed most. The light belongs in the darkness." Martin Luther even hit this angle by taking some of the secular tunes of the world and putting Christian lyrics to the music. Why? In order to influence those who needed to be influenced the most. Who do you know in your network of people that might need a greater godly influence that you can bring? Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's with coworkers. Maybe it's a school mentoring relationship or an otter program. Maybe it's at a local restaurant on a Monday morning. And of course, the Christian who does this must have a strong foundation of faith. Strong foundation on Jesus, mature faith, well-rooted as wheat, as to not allow the weeds to overpower and influence us as opposed to us them. And so the key is to be in the world with the weeds, but to be not of the world and become weeds. You see, the job for us as Christians is this: not to have to make the bad turn into good. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But our job is to allow God simply to use us to impact those who are on the wrong path. Our job, you might think of it as this, is to raise old glory, to raise the stars and stripes, to raise the flag up. And it's the Holy Spirit's work then to see if that person will salute that flag in faith. But we've got to do our part. We've got to raise Jesus up. And at times that means being among the weeds. And some people I know will think that, well, if you're among the weeds, well, then you're agreeing with them. Well, that wasn't the case with Jesus. He was among the weeds so very often, eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners, so that his love might rub off on them. That's what happened in the story in John 8, where the woman is caught in adultery. Pharisees come out there and she's guilty and, well, guilty to be punished by death. They pick up rocks and they're going to stone her to death. And Jesus walks in and says, whoa. Whoever is without sin, go ahead and chunk the first rock. And they all dropped their stones and walked away. And Jesus said to the woman, "Who do you see who condemns you?" And she says, "I see no one, sir." And Jesus says, "Well, neither then do I condemn you. But go and sin no more." See, Jesus judged her behavior as being bad. But the goal was to be with her for a time being so that her bad life might encounter his goodness and love. The point is this. Judge people's behavior as being good or bad, but don't write them off. In God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, all in God can be redeemable as we love them into Jesus. And in the end, God, not us, will make that final judgment. Hey, yesterday, this is why the story changed, or the sermon title changed. Yesterday, I took a different kind of approach to being in the weeds. As a matter of fact, I went in the weeds on the roadside. We as a congregation have adopted Highway 87 South from about, well, Highway Street all the way to the bridge, Perdinalis Bridge. And so 3-4 times a year, we walk in the ditches. We walk along the sideways and byways there, picking up trash.
And so it's a great thing that our local missions team has lifted up for us a way that we can serve our community. And so Jim Parker and I had the section from Highway Street all the way to the theater. It's about a mile stretch right there. And hey, let me give you a little aside right here, just a little survey that I did while I was out there. See, we had these trash bags, and we had one of those frog digger things right there. You see it, the little stick with a nail on it? And I picked up about 3 bags of trash. And guess what? Guess what the number one trash item that I found in the ditch was? Anybody guess? It is. It's right on the edge of it's right on the top right there. Plastic bottles. Plastic bottles, one with 44, all right? Guess what the second most highest one was? Anybody? Aluminum cans. Aluminum cans. You know, beer bottles are out. I mean, glass bottles are out. I only found 2 of those, and one was broke. But tin cans, metal cans came in next. The third one was HEB plastic bags. They're everywhere out there, like jellyfish in the ocean. And check this one out. Surprisingly, what was the number one fast food trash out there? Anybody guess? Wrong. I thought it would be Whataburger too. It was Sonic. Sonic won out. Whataburger was second. No baby diapers, thanks be to God. But there were 3 unmentionables. And I'm not mentioning what those were. Among the trash and the debris was this little piece of paper, and it's down there to the left at the bottom. I stuck it with my spear, and before placing it in the trash bag, I pulled it off and took a closer look. And it reads, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus." Hebrews 12:2. You see, among the mess, among the weeds, among the junk and crud and waste and trash on the roadside, there was Jesus. And I pierced him with my spear. See the hole in it? You see, this is what Jesus has done. He is the good. He is the good and perfect one who has come from heaven above to be with the bad. And we the bad. Because we have been the sinner. We have been rebellious. The good came to be with the bad, to clean up the roadsides of our lives with forgiveness and with life and grace and mercy. The good entered the garbage of our sin, the badness of our littered lives. And then it got ugly, very ugly. For he allowed himself to be placed upon the cross to bleed, to suffer, and to die so that we might be forgiven, so that we too might walk among the weeds and show them the grace of God in Jesus Christ. So this next week, let us pray that we find opportunity to walk among the weeds, among the ditches, the roadsides that God has set before you, so that we may encounter those who may need the good shepherd as much as we do. Amen.